Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners from all across the country, all across the world. We're excited every day to be with you and to have this conversation. And you guys are truly important to us as we are just walking this out, what God has been sharing with us and showing with us and keeping the light high in this dark, dark world. And we have so much in store for you today, so many things that the Lord has laid on our heart. We're going to be talking about today in today's program about knowing God, Pat, knowing Him, and it's important that He knows you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have this idea that it's okay to know of and about God and to have a familiarity with God. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, you don't want to face trouble and find out, I don't know this God that I have been professing and telling everybody I know. You want to know like you know that you know Him. Oh, I used to say like this, like you know the sky's blue and the grass is green. You need to know that you know Him and that He knows you. But before we get to that, Pat, I know that you want to share with us about your abiding time. Talk to us, man. What's the Lord saying?
Wow. Well, I just really, really love Proverbs.
Yes.
It just never fails. You know, every time I read them, there's always something that just jumps out at me. And here recently, it's just like there's this common theme, especially in the earlier chapters of Proverbs. You know, over and over again, you know, and he speaks to you like as like he's talking to you specifically, because a lot of them start off as, my son, listen to me.
Right.
I got something to say to you. And over and over and over again. And it was just really encouraging. And I think in Proverbs 4, he said, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, this is one of my favorites. He says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And wow. I've always loved that scripture. I just meditate on that. And it's amazing how life, you know, tends to reveal that so many ways. You know, when you don't guard your heart, when you're not careful what you allow into your life,
wow.
You know, whether it's through your eyes, your ears, the company that you keep, the thoughts that you think. I mean, it's just amazing how quickly you can get polluted.
Sure.
You know, by not guarding your heart.
Wow.
You know, and how things just change around you when you're not careful with that. And it's just, I see such a difference when when we went on this fast, I was very careful to guard my heart.
Yeah.
You know, because I really wanted God to speak during that time. You know, you just don't want to go through all this, you know.
Fasting.
You know, I don't want to say
no
anything.
Food, just,
right,
just water.
Just
right.
Putting things down and, you know, dying to your flesh. You know, why go through all that and not take full advantage of this?
Sure.
You know, cutting off all television, cutting out, you know, anything, any excess stuff.
Right.
And just really just focusing on God and, you know, and what he's saying. He, of course, he's just amazing. He gave me so much grace during that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And the longer I walk with the Lord, I'm just so aware of how important it is to guard your heart.
Yeah.
You got to protect it.
Yeah.
At all costs. And that's what he says. He says, above all else, which to me, that's above everything else I've said to you. Make sure you guard your heart. Because it's so quickly to turn, you know, when things come in, life hits you in the face, and it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not careful.
It's funny you say that during the fast. It's kind of one of the themes that the Lord was speaking to me about. You know, it's amazing. Because when you go on in the fast, what happens is that your heart oftentimes is revealed to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Word of God says that your heart.
What's not dead yet.
Yeah, the Word of God says that your heart is deceitfully wicked. No man can know it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the one that can reveal to us the things that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to position ourselves
That's right.
You know, I've noticed that God doesn't speak if we're not listening. You know, we don't have an ear to listen.
That's right. That's why he says over and over again, listen to me. Pay attention. I got something to say.
Yeah.
And then Proverbs 8, and I was talking about this morning with the guys, and he says, now, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise and do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord.
Mm.
And I just, you know, over and over and over again, it's like, all right, God, what are you saying here? Am I not listening? Am I not paying attention?
Right.
What have I missed?
Right.
You know, what have I just kind of just, you know, flippantly just brushed off? It wasn't, that's, you know, I thought it maybe wasn't you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God's voice, he's a small, still voice. He doesn't yell.
Mm-mm.
It's a whisper. You got to listen. That's why he says you got to sit and watch at my door daily.
Mm.
You know, you got to spend that time with him daily. You're not going to hear. You're not going to know. I mean, life hits you in the face so fast. You know, next thing you know, you're, you know, working on something instead of sitting there listening to him.
Yeah.
You know, because Satan's so, you know, he constantly reminds you of, you know, responsibilities and tasks and
shiny, you know, object here, shiny object there.
Or, you know, how worthless you are, that kind of thing. But you just can't listen to it. You just got to sit there and soak and pay attention to what he's saying.
Yeah. Now, the heart's so important because, it's, you know, you're reading in Proverbs that, you know, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring. And the wellspring means it's a fountain. It's the source of life.
That's right.
It's the source.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, you know, comes out of the heart is what makes a man unclean. It's not about what's going in. It's the stuff that's coming out.
Right. And it's only with your heart that a man can believe and be saved. It comes through the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's so important.
Guarding it is everything. You know, in Mark, you know, they were talking about, in Mark 7, there's a dialogue going on about, you know, what makes a man clean and what makes a man unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the Pharisees are always concerned about, you know, ceremonial things, traditional things that really had no, it was all for show. You know, I was reading today and I didn't, you know, it's just simmering on some of the things in the scriptures. And I know that God wants to share more with me about that. But one of the things just that I was reading was about the seven woes that he talks to the Pharisees all about. And the whole thing that Jesus was always getting onto the Pharisees, and I mean, he was just letting them have it, was because they were trying to represent God in a way that was not even right. I mean, it was all this outward external stuff. And one of the things that they were all about was this outward, you know, appearances and traditions. And he says, you know, they're concerned about Jesus' disciples not washing their hands before they eat. And he's like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm about to unleash on you here. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say that what comes out of a man is what makes him clean, unclean.
Mm-hmm.
What comes out of a man? For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean.
Hmm.
For it doesn't go into the heart, but we're talking about this other area. I read this out of line, but basically it's just going to say that it comes from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Inside your heart is what makes you unclean. Mm-hmm. It's coming out of your heart. And the Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when people are just, you know, saying things, they're not just saying stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Their heart is full of it, and that's the stuff that's just overflowing and leaking out.
Right.
And so we can know what is in others' heart, but we can also know what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay attention to some of the things that we're discussing and talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what Proverbs says, is that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And it's important to sit back and inventory and evaluate, how did that come across and how did I come across? And Sometimes there's a disconnect with the way we think that we're showing up. But then there's reality. This is how you really are showing up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's important to know what's going on.
Well, that's why it's so important to abide. I mean, if you're not constantly filling yourself with the Word of God and filling yourself with His presence, then, you know, nothing but junk's going to come out. All that stuff you're talking about, you know, that is constantly we're being bombarded with. I mean, that's what you're going to, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Pretty simple. Garbage in.
Garbage out.
Right? Good stuff in.
Good stuff out. Good fruit.
That's it.
That's right.
And Jesus' reply to the religious leaders of the day was him quoting Isaiah. And he says, you know, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he says, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And Jesus he compares this vain worship versus true worship, heart worship. And vain worship is a worship that's useless, that means nothing, that amounts to just useless. You know, we're just going through the motion. I like that Matthew West song. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to live one more day without your all-consuming power and love living inside of me. And if you're not careful, if your heart's not in it, if your heart is not close to the Lord, if your heart is not pure before God, you know, you can walk in religious ways. Mm-hmm. You can do things that look, have an appearance, the Bible says, have an appearance of godliness, but yet they denied the power thereof. It can look godly, but God is nowhere in sight.
That's right. Yeah, Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Mm. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
Wow.
That's something.
So it matters.
It does matter.
It matters. So when you're talking to others and you're instructing others and when you're your own guidelines for your own self, you're saying it matters what I listen to. It matters what I sit in front of. It matters what my eyes see and what my ears hear and the conversations that I'm a part of. It does matter because it affects you. It affects your heart. It affects your spirit, man. It will just take you down. And the thing about, you know, our hearts is that our hearts dictate everything. And what we really need to have, you know, when you go to see the medical doctor, they always want to do like a, you know, give you like a checkup. Mm-hmm. And they want to do inventory of your physical body and say, hey, do you have any pain anywhere? You know, what's your medical history? Mm-hmm. Is this running your mother's side, your father's side? And they go down a checklist of things. But you know what's important? That we do a heart check. You know, we do a spiritual check and really take, you know, inventory and evaluate. And what I've noticed when I look at what Jesus has said to the Pharisees and religious people of that time, people that really weren't walking with God, although they try to represent themselves as they were,
right,
that hardened hearts, hardened heart, someone that has a hard heart, that leads them into a place of pride, and that pride wants them to be blind, and that blindness causes them to be deceived. It's like it's a progression. You know, your heart gets harder, the harder and harder and harder your heart gets, the more prideful a person becomes, and then the more prideful a person is, the more blind that they are. They can't see. And when you can't see, you fall to all sorts of deception.
Right.
And that's why truth is so important. Like you were saying, Pat, abiding and spending time with the Lord and reading His Word and allowing the Word to be the mirror to your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a religious person reads the Scripture, there's two people that read the Scripture, right? A person that has the right heart towards God, and then there's a religious person that is reading the Word of God, not for what the Word of God would say to them as a mirror, but they're looking for Scriptures to confirm their lifestyle or to try to manipulate the Word in a way that basically condones or approves of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the idea of spending time with God and abiding is to allow God's truth to penetrate our heart.
Right.
You know, and when that truth penetrates, it begins to soften and soften and soften and help us to really give our whole heart to the Lord and say, okay, God, you know, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit, you know, about this, Pat. Let's talk about the prodigal son, because the prodigal son, he had a heart situation there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He went, something happened there mm-hmm. with his heart. The beginning was different than the end. But when we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about his transitional process. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The eyes of the world are watching. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Christians ought to live what we believe, but that's not always the case in our marriages. Here's Francis Chan with an observation about letting God's power shine in our relationships.
Look at the average, you know, married Christian couple. I mean, how is it supernatural? I could probably show you plenty of unbelieving couples that are just as happy, just as loving towards their kids, but they're not seeing the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit, and that's what's undeniable. And when they see that, then they're more apt to listen to your message.
Maybe Francis Chan's words are a bit challenging for you. There's no doubt that God designed marriage to be a showcase for His power and His love at work. You'll find encouragement to have a thriving relationship at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just... You see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. We were talking about the heart and how important it is that we guard it. And I know, Pat, you were talking about above all else. But above all else, to guard your heart, because it is the wellspring, the source of life. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how going on, you know, a fast, an extended fast like that, allows us mm-hmm. to hear from God and allows us to, you know, allow Him to search us.
Yeah.
There's a psalm says, you know, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. See if there's any anxious thoughts within me mm-hmm. and lead me in the way everlasting, you know?
Yeah, kind of liken it to like an oil change when you go on this fast. You purge out all that black gook out of your engine
yeah.
and you put fresh new oil in.
Mm.
It's the same thing with this fast. You know, you purge out all this garbage that's been going that you may have allowed in your life.
Right.
You know?
Undetected, because you don't live it. With stuff, but there's stuff that, yeah. that creeps in if you're just yeah. not careful.
So you're, you know, when you know, die to your flesh like that, for that period of time, it's just like a rebooting and a reflushing of yourself. You know?
Sure, a resetting.
Reset, yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, we were talking as well about how a hard heart, there's a progression with, you know, our heart can take, and that people that harden their hearts, mm-hmm. the more that you harden your heart to God's truth, means God's truth is going forth and you don't respond to it, then your heart becomes hardened.
Mm-hmm.
And the harder your heart gets, you begin to move in pride.
Right.
And then the progression of that pride is that you become blind. Mm-hmm. And you can't see. Spiritually, you cannot see.
Right.
And then you fall to all sorts of deception.
Right.
And I think about the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. I mean, something happened with this prodigal son here that the scriptures talk about in the Gospels, where he thought that he had it going on and that he was going to be able to call the shots, and he demanded that his father give him an inheritance, and his father let him go. And he started on a journey, not a wise journey, but he started on a journey that resulted in him, you know, living a wild life, the Bible says. And he wasted, not only wasted his time, he wasted his father's resources, he wasted his inheritance. And finally, he comes to the point of brokenness. You know, it's so important to allow people to come to bottom, to allow people to come to the end of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I look at the father in the situation, and I'm like, man, this guy was an awesome father, you know, because he understood. He understood that, listen, we're not going to come to God in our head. We're going to be able to come to God in our heart. And he understood with wisdom that his son needed process. His son needed not to make a head decision, but needed to make a heart decision. And if it took him going on a journey, it was going to be okay. And so he didn't try to stop, you know, the journey. He didn't try to support his son on the journey. He said, oh, it's like that?
Right.
Well, let me help you out. You know, let me give you some funds.
I'm gonna help you out.
And you can be on your way. And so he was on his way. And he comes to the end of himself. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, man, I don't even have food to eat. You know, one day when you come to the end of yourself and you wind up thinking, like, how did I get here? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did I get here? What happened? Because you know what? After the money goes, after the friends and the drinking and the drugs and the girls and all, when all that stuff is done, when all the wild living is done, because it doesn't last forever, and you, all you have is yourself and your situations and your problems, and you can't run anymore and you can't do anything about it, you come to a place, hopefully, of soberness, where you can begin to start evaluating and saying, man, how did I get here? How did I get here? I mean, the prodigal son winds up going over to, you know, this place is like, maybe I can sell myself. Maybe, you know, right. I can work for these folks, and he's feeding these pigs, and he's gets to so bottom where he's actually looking and saying, man, that pig food, you know what I'm saying?
That's looking pretty tasty.
That looks a little good, you know. He starts hallucinating and saying, maybe that I could substitute and close my eyes and eat it real quick, and then maybe that's barbecue or something. but I long to have that. But he has a moment of soberness, if you will. He has a moment where his heart went on this journey, and it got soft and more soft and more soft. That's the thing, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily always take these crushing blows. It doesn't always take these major setbacks for us to have this realization. But God loves us enough that says, you know, well, if you know, I'm going to give you the sandpaper that you need. You know, there's fine sandpaper, and then we got some heavy duty stuff. you let me know what you want,
right,
and I will give you as you need. And, you know, call me a punk, but I don't like pain. You know what I'm saying? I stump my toe, and I'm like, ouch, time out, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see that some folks, they don't have a bottom. They have subterranean basements. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, you're going to hit China after a while. Do that. You're going to, you know,
yeah, right.
you're going to hit the solid ground there, and then what? And, you know, you can fall on the rock, or the rock can fall on you. But I tell you, it's more merciful if you just fall on the rock, because he loves you and certainly has a plan for your life. But Patty comes to the end there where he says, you know, I need to go back to my father's house. You know, I need to go back to the place of where it all started, man, where I know that there's love. I know that I'm accepted. You know, these people don't love me out of here. You know what I'm saying? And maybe my dad will just bring me on. You know, maybe I can just do something out there. And he starts heading back, not knowing what's going to happen there. Not knowing, hey, am I going to be rejected? I've done so much, man. It's like, how do I show up now? I've got a brother out there. You know, like, how do I show up to this? Mm-hmm. And he shows up, and I have a picture of this in my office. My son actually bought this for me for Christmas. He bought me, I have a portrait of the prodigal son returning to the father.
Oh, wow.
And man, it's beautiful. I have it because, you know, that's my story.
Right.
You know,
it's all of our stories.
Yeah. And it's many people's story, you know, that listen, God wants us. He's luring us back. He wants us to turn our hearts to him, not our head to him. And he's not looking in behavior modification. He's not looking for us to just do certain things because we know that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. He wants us to do the right thing because we have fully surrendered our heart and we are willing to live a surrendered life to him. Let me tell you something. We got started talking about our heart and how important it is. Mm-hmm. It's important for you to have the right heart towards God. Don't harden your heart anymore. If you hear his voice, don't stuff your ears. Say, God, here I am, and I'll follow. Continue to soften my heart. Continue to bring me back to you, and let God lead you and direct you. And I promise you, if you give him your heart 100%, God will change your life forever. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Welcome
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I want to say it is time for the citizenship test.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
We finally made it back. Okay. Finally made it back. And we're going to, everybody who wants to become a citizen, which I think everybody needs this test. I mean, we're learning as we go, but we're getting back reacquainted with the original tent of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 100 questions you have to answer. And to help us out to see what it's like, John and Pat has volunteered to be humiliated across the nations to be able to answer these questions. They have not looked. They have not looked at the answers.
Nope.
I don't know how John knew that it was multiple choice, but that's just between him and God and the throne of God. And I'll stop. What that means.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm guilty as charged.
That's like Pat's what?
What?
Oh, stop. Isn't that the bank bag, the robbery bank bag? Anyway, so we got 5 questions here, and we're taking them 5 at a time. And what way it works is, you know, when you're ready to give your answer, you'll get time to think. When you get time to think about it, you'll hear. And that gives you time to think. But when you're ready to get the answer, you have to let me know that's your final answer. And at that particular point, we'll listen to what your answer is. And of course, if you get it right, you know, we will all celebrate. We will celebrate with you. Oh, there you go. And if you get it wrong, you will hear. The whole world will hear. So here we are.
No pressure. Get them right now.
No pressure at all.
You either.
The very first question today on the U.S. citizenship test goes to Pat. And it's actually question 41, but it's 5 today. So this is the first of the 5 today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is the one power? What is one, not one, the one, but what is one power that belongs to the federal government? Read that again. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one of those powers that belongs to the federal government? Okay, here's the question. He's ready. The question is, under our Constitution, some powers, you're going to be surprised how limited these are.
Yeah, right.
Some powers belong to the federal government. And all you have to do, Pat, all you have to do is say, what
all
is...
All you have to do.
Yeah, all you have to do is what is one of those powers that belong to the federal government?
B. No, I'm kidding.
That was a joke. That was an attempt to be funny.
Oh, again. Was it?
Yeah, apparently didn't work.
Yeah,
would that be martial law?
How about for steal? I get work on being.
All right,
safe.
You want to steal? Go ahead, steal.
Raise taxes?
I guess yeah, they're actually doing it, right?
They're doing it.
Well, this is what the test says. There's four. They can only do 4 things. Provide health care.
Provide health care.
That's not it. To print money. To declare war. To create an army. And to make treaties. Isn't that amazing?
Mm. All right.
I think they've actually created a few more liberties. You know.
Wow, it's amazing.
You know, by the way, in April the 2nd, 1917, is when President Woodrow Wilson asked Congress to declare war on Germany. April the 2nd, 2017. Okay, next one. We're going to go to the next one. They're doing a lot more today than they were.
Yeah.
1917.
More. Yeah. Well, yeah, well, they're doing a lot more than those four things. It's like, come on.
Yeah, right.
You know, when to print money means, they are printing money.
They are cranking out some bills.
As a matter of fact,
they
have the fastest printing machine in the West, and it's just printing money so fast that the money in our account is just like dwindling in its value. To declare war, we don't call it war anymore. We just call it like we're having a little disturbances.
Yeah.
And
conflict.
And really, you shouldn't do that. You should just either it's war or it's not.
and to create an army and to make treaties. Okay, John. John, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test. And, of course, we don't want you to have to self-deport.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. Number two for today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? Under the Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? By the way, don't use Mayor Bloomberg as a guide. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question that's for you, John. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one of the states' powers?
The
thinking part was over.
Oh, come on.
Ready? Okay, here it is.
I'm gonna shoot out here on the left here.
Is that saying you're gonna fail before you start?
Probably.
Man of faith.
Soften the blow here. Can they create their own like a state militia, like a National Guard?
Of course, this is what's in the what says the Constitution. Here it is. Here's the answer. The answer is the state. Let me read the question one more time so we have the context. Under our Constitution, so that's what kind of helps you understand the question, is that this is what's written in the Constitution. Some powers belong to the states. What are one of those powers? Well, I'll tell you what's written in there. Provide schooling and education, which makes you wonder, why is the National Education Association in existence? Because that is a state. The Constitution says that is a state.
Mm.
That is a state power. Another one is to, this could be it. It's not a militia, but provide protection, which would be police, which is law enforcement. Provide safety, such as like the fire department and things such as that. Give driver's license.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And approve zoning and land use. Zoning and land use. I think our federal government is even getting involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get back to the original intent. Oh my goodness. This is very helpful. We're really finding out how far off Congress, the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative branch is off the original intent. Okay, wow. John, here's the next question.
What?
A little humor. Okay, Pat.
I'm paying attention here.
You sure were. You look straight up.
I saw those eyebrows.
I know, right up under his hat. Okay, next question. Pat, here goes. What is, this is from the test for citizenship to America. What is the governor, what is the governor? I don't know what he is. No. Who is the governor of your state? All right, got it. The question is, who is the governor of your state?
That would be Rick Scott.
Yeah, actually, Rick Scott. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just saw a picture of his wife, Tracy, with the governor when he stopped by to see where she works at. And then she spent some time shaking his hand and meeting him. I got a chance to meet him when he was running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, his hair gets in his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of shaggy.
That's Florida, obviously. How about Jersey? I think we know who the Jersey is, right? He's the one that hugged the president into office. Gave him a big hug and a big kiss and got him 4 more years.
we know who he is. Well, he's gearing up for 2016. Chris Christie.
Is he really?
Oh. Okay. Probably. Next question, John. Here's a question. What is the capital of your state? Great, that's quick. Wow. What is the capital of your state? Which is
Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Woo! Very good. Trenton, New Jersey. I guess we can go ahead and ask.
That would be Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, Florida. Tallahassee.
Oh, wow, that was quick. You saw that.
Yeah, that is the city and the place of my birth.
Yeah.
In Leon
amazing.
County, Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, here we are. This is the last question. We're moving right along. John, what are the two major political parties in the...
Two more.
Oh, two more. Very good. Pat. John. Another surprise. John, what are the two major eras? No, what are the two major political parties?
Oh, actually, it is mine.
Is it? Shane.
Wait, Chris is messing me up over there.
Get it together.
Pat. What was the last question? Governor?
Yes.
Capital of your state.
That was me.
The capital of your state. No, you just asked for a second.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Threw me off.
Man, he's like he got up early or something today.
No, it was mine. I asked Rick Scott.
We got to follow us.
Okay.
Follow
us. All right.
What is the capital of your state? Was the last question.
It was Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Well, moving on.
Since we knew you knew it, we let you say what yours was. He's taking his coat off. He's getting hot. Okay.
Temperature's rising.
Pat, here you go. You can tell his ears are red. No, actually, they're black. Okay, there you go.
And his nose is twinkling.
Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing. Okay, here you go. What are the two major political parties in the United States, Pat? What are the two major political parties in the United States? Okay, here he is. Your final answer, right?
Yeah.
What are the two major political parties in the United States?
That would be Republicans and Democrats.
Yay! What is the logo or the emblem where they put out for each party?
An elephant and a donkey.
Which one's which?
Elephants, the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Donkeys are the Democrats.
Right. The
is that right?
Yeah. But you know, we don't have to have just two political parties. And I really believe this is what's going to turn America around after we turn back to God. Is when we realize that we can have like the Labor Party, we can have the Conservative Party, we can have different parties. And I believe it was the first president of the United States, I believe, that said the two-party system will destroy this country. Because you can't fit everything into two parties.
Yeah, you're right.
And what happens is you have two parties heading in a direction and they find out when they're running for office, we got to start sucking in some new ideas, we got to take in those ideas. We can't, you know, it's like, no, what did you stand for when you began and why did you change? Because there's only a two-party system right now. We need several parties. And you'll find out it's going to be more appropriate for the country, I believe. Personally, I believe. There's a new party. Actually, it's been prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
I believe by Rick Joyner of Morningstar, the new political party will begin to develop and form. And I believe it's just going to be a founding father, conservative, Jesus is Lord party. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that that will be easy for people to be able to make a decision. Oh my goodness, we've come to an end. Oh my goodness. Well, we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to know that I have started an exercise program.
You?
Yes, I have.
Like an organized program.
Well, you know,
like
I want to be in shape. I want to be in shape. I want to be ready for what the Lord has in store, and I want to get all just in shape. You know, toned up.
A shape.
Well, I'm a shape now.
Another shape. Either way.
So this what I'm doing. Right. What I'm doing is I actually went around the block. Several times today.
Really?
Several times. I just got out there and I just went around the block real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised at this.
Wait, question it. Were you walking or were you driving?
Well, you know, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
I was rapid movement. Okay. And I was going around real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised that I didn't even break a sweat, not even once. Now, three times around the block.
Wow.
And I was moving. You heard the speed of light. I mean, I not that fast, but I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't even break a sweat.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, very, very simple. I just took a wood block, put it in,
on the floor in the living room and ran around it three times real fast. And I ran around the block. And, you know, that's the new fitness program. Give me a break. Okay? Give me a break.
Really? Really?
Well, listen.
That's right? The best you could come up with?
Well, look, right now, you need to pray for me because right now,
Lord, give him a bigger block. I just asked for a bigger block.
I'm staying with my in-laws right now. You know, our home is being prepared for us, and we're having a great time spending time with them, and it's been really great.
Right.
But, you know, I just fall under this conviction. They are, like, healthy people. They're fit people. I mean, I look at my father-in-law, and I just get convicted. He's 68 years old. And he just did, I don't know if you heard about this, it's called a Spartan race. They have like these obstacle races.
Really?
And I guess they have them all over the country. They have them, I think there's one called Tough Mud or Mudder or something like that. I don't know. You know, as you know, I don't know about these things.
This is obvious.
I don't know about these things, but this is like a 3 mile, I mean.
Who did this?
This is my 68-year-old father-in-law.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean. Listen, I've got pictures, dude. I've got pictures. I mean, look, he is in the ground, in the dirt.
Where do they do this?
Oh,
at?
Wow.
They have them all over the world. We're going to have a website up for you at The Torch, but they have them in Vancouver and Quebec and Toronto and just all over the world and all over the country. And they have thousands of people in this open field.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, doing these high ropes and low ropes and getting under in the dirt, man.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that.
It's intense. He finished.
How long is it?
Finished.
Isn't it like 10 miles or something?
I think it's 3 miles. I think it's
3 miles? Okay.
It's not like no regular. It's a major, major obstacle course. And I'm like, stop bragging. Stop it. Stop. And then, you know, if that doesn't help you. Yeah, my brother-in-law, you know, and his wife, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Fitness.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
There is not
enough. You're feeling really good.
No, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good.
After he told you about the Spartan race, did you tell him that you ran around your block?
Well, actually, I got the block idea. It was in his house. So I like this. This is a workout that I could do. But, you know, my they come around, and I'm like, I feel guilty if I eat something. I'm like, guys, what are you? There's not an inch of fat on there. I'm like super, super, super shape. They are in incredible shape. They gathered Pensacola Fit Club.
Wow.
And they have a website, PensacolaFitClub.com, and you can check those guys out, man. But they are intense in their workout. And let me tell you something. They got some results. They haven't quite gotten me there yet. Not yet. Maybe one day I'll visit. I'm afraid to maybe venture into that intensity. But those guys are doing phenomenal.
You know, I think about like just like what you're saying as far as running a race, and that's the type of race that Paul writes about in running a race towards Christ.
Mm.
And because there's obstacles that are going to come against us, and there's obstacles that are going to come to refine us, but it's just like run our race like we're running for a prize. Just like anyone else would prepare for any race, we're called to run a race for Christ.
Yes. I like that race now. That race I'm running good, right?
Yes.
By God's grace.
There you go.
But I have to do the other race too.
Right. So you said those city blocks?
No. Wood blocks. Wood blocks.
Well, okay. North they got bigger blocks.
Yes, but I wasn't running up north. I was, you know, running around the wood block. But one day, I mean, then he does this thing where, you know, I don't know what you call it, but he jumps up in the middle. I mean. Jumps up as high as he can and extends his hands and his legs. I don't know what you call that exercise. Looks like you're
star
flying.
Jumpers.
Oh my goodness.
Is that right?
Star jumpers.
Wow.
Dude, he's just showing off.
Didn't you used to do that kind of stuff, Steve?
Used to. Yeah. What is
like a couple months ago?
Isn't there a subject?
Well, let me tell you something. They're getting fit and I'm soon.
We're praying
soon.
For you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank
Lord,
you.
Give
thank
him a bigger block.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, they have lettuce and all this good stuff, and I'll eat a hamburger next to him. Said, you want something? They go, no, we don't eat that. Oh, I love these guys. I love them.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat.
So how's that block thing coming on?
Listen, during the break, we discussed that we were not going to continue this.
Have you expanded your routine at all?
Well, I've got a couple 2x4s, but now, you know, we'll see what happens.
Uh-huh.
But stay tuned.
Is it working? Right?
Stay tuned. Can't you see? Is it not visible? Can't you see?
Anyway.
All right, thank you.
So what are we talking about next?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad certain people don't have a microphone right now because... But anyway, what we want to share as we just close out and come to the end of this program, an account that happened in the Bible. You know, when I read the Bible, Pat, I look at some of the things that happened and I go, you know, it's amazing how these 66 books that encompass the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and in particular the New Testament with the Gospels, where you just, you know, they record not everything that Jesus did, because, I mean, there wouldn't be enough books to, you know, write everything that he did, but and said. But what he has said and done and has recorded for us is absolutely amazing. And, you know, they weren't short on account, so... Nothing in the Bible is there for filler, if you will, okay? There's no such thing as filler here. No, they didn't need an extra chapter or an extra story. But we have to look at every account and everything that's in there and say, God, you know, what are you saying? And I was reading in Matthew 14 about how the disciples were on a boat, right? And, you know, I've been to Israel before, and I went to the Sea of Galilee, and it's not really a sea. It's more like a lake, you know?
It's a very big lake.
Yeah, but it's not that big. I'm thinking of ocean, you know? It's not that big. But the disciples, they're on a boat, and they're a considerable distance from the shore. When they notice what looked like Jesus walking on the water towards them, okay? And just pause here for a minute.
Imagine that thought for a moment.
Yeah, okay. just pause here. They're in this boat, and it's like, is that Jesus walking on the water? Is that Jesus coming to us?
It can't be.
It can't be. The Bible says they were terrified, and because it's like, this obviously should not be happening. But what was absolutely remarkable, you know, occurrences were so wild that they actually thought they were seeing a ghost. And... I mean, the truth is that right before their very eyes, they were seeing Jesus do something that was absolutely out of the natural, right? Mm-hmm. It contradicted the laws of earth, the way things are supposed to be done. I mean, you don't walk on water. And so, you know, as we look at what happened here, it's important to when you're reading the Bible and especially the accounts of Jesus and his ministry and what he's done, it's important that you understand that Jesus, when he was born in a manger and walked the face of the earth, although he's God, he's fully man and fully God. He, if you will, and then this is the, you know, not the best analogy, but, you know, work with me here. He laid down his Superman cape, if you will, his godness, and came to live on earth as Clark Kent, right?
Right.
Empowered by the Holy Spirit, though. And so if you just read the scriptures and you read the accounts of his life and you don't understand that, then you will discredit many of the miracles and just say, well, he was God, so of course he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he can do that. Well, yeah, he is God, but he walked on the face of the earth as fully man, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, in Matthew 14, we see that Jesus was so full of faith, and he was so full of the heavenly realm that he had no problem walking on water and getting to his disciples. And, you know, I don't think that Jesus, Pat, was interested in performing sideshows. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is not, you know, a bag of tricks, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, and I really think that he probably wouldn't even consider that a miracle, but just a matter of fact for him. I don't think he considered it a miracle. It was just basically he needed to get to his disciples, so I'm just going to go ahead and walk on this water. And he was so full of the reality of faith and the kingdom of God that he just simply operated in a different realm. A different realm.
Right.
And in fact, what was just as remarkable as Jesus walking on the water, Peter, the disciple in the boat, says... Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come.
Right.
And Jesus says to come, and Peter began to do what was not naturally possible for him to do. He too began to walk on the water. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do that. But the second he took his eyes off of the Lord, he began to sink. And Jesus, you know, basically was said, man, okay. You know, he reached out to him, said, you have a little faith. But he saw, you know, we look at this picture and we realize, man, what was it about the Lord? I mean, okay, this is a miracle. This is recorded in the Bible. You know, what is, you know, what's God trying to communicate through all of this? Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, Jesus did what he did on earth, not because of any other reason, but because of he was walking in the fullness of who God was. Basically, like, he didn't conform to the laws of nature. The laws of nature conform to him. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
He said, I'm out of the box here. Okay, I mean, when you're talking about being able to feed the thousands that were gathered, he says, listen, just bring those five loaves of bread and those two fishes. It doesn't matter what you have. We're going to operate outside of that. Mm-hmm. And that was no problem for him. You know, when there was someone who was broken down, he says, you know, pick up your mat and walk.
Right.
When a person didn't have an eye, he says, well, let me go ahead and make this, you know, one for you out of mud, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the point? The point is that we can begin to walk in such faith that we're not looking at natural circumstances and are trying to conform the word of God to the natural circumstances. We begin to walk in a place of great faith and say, Lord, you know, I can do these things. I can face these troubles. I can face these circumstances because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. God, you can empower me. You can empower me to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven and to understand that I am a spirit that just happens to have a body, not a body that happens to have a spirit. And I can communicate with my heavenly Father and I can see the kingdom of heaven manifest on earth today. Listen, God doesn't want us to conform to the natural realm. He wants us to, the natural realm, to conform to his word. We can do it when we walk with the Lord and walk in faith. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.